a deadline in Syria. Peace at hand? The Syrian government has agreed to withdraw its security forces from in and around major population centers by April 10th, ostensibly paving the way for a general ceasefire 2 days later. This was the major revelation from a briefing by UN Special Envoy for Syria, Kofi Annan, before the UN Security Council on Monday. In addition, the International Committee of the Red Cross in Geneva said its president would arrive in Damascus, the Syrian capital, today to press for a daily two-hour suspension of hostilities to facilitate the evacuation of the wounded and the delivery of aid. Will Syria meet the deadline and or respond to the Red Cross demands? Barbara Plett, longtime Middle East reporter and currently UN correspondent for our partner, the BBC, joins us in the studio. Welcome to the program, Barbara.
Thank you.
So you have a major documentary focusing on the Middle East, which raises a lot of the issues of hope and hopes dashed. But to comment, if you could, initially, on what this revelation means to the United Nations Security Council. Is it a stalling tactic? Do people actually believe that Bashar al-Assad will stop hostilities? Is there a way of parsing this statement?
Well, it was greeted with quite a lot of skepticism, especially from Western diplomats whose position in general is that Bashar al-Assad has made promises before, hasn't kept those promises, why would he keep these? But having said that, the Security Council is firmly behind Kofi Annan's mission. Even though some feel it doesn't have much chance of success, they believe that he's a very good mediator. They have a lot of respect for him. They've said he needs as much time and space as possible to try to achieve something. And if he comes forward and says, the Syrian government has told me that it's willing to withdraw its military forces from cities, it's willing to pull out its heavy weapons, its troops by April 10th, and after that we want to see a ceasefire in 48 hours, that is something they will support. And it is a new thing. I mean, this is the first time the Syrian government has talked about any kind of timeline, which is a concrete thing and something that can be measured. So, yes, there was a great deal of skepticism, but there was full support as well.
Is the UN tacitly going along with Bashar al-Assad's position that the opposition is, in fact, a terrorist armed force that has a sort of moral equivalency with his own forces and that he actually gains here something, even if he does put down his weapons for any length of time?
No, I don't think so. The issue that was dividing the Security Council in particular was Russian and Chinese objection to any outside intervention that might force Bashar al-Assad to step down. There was a plan put forward by the Arab League and supported by Western nations earlier in the year, which called on Assad to devolve power. And there was a resolution built up around that, which the Russians vetoed. Now, what's happened with Kofi Annan's mission is he's taken out those controversial bits. It's a very general mandate for him to stop the violence, get humanitarian access, and start a political process of dialogue between the opposition and the regime. All reference to Assad stepping down has been taken out. And therefore, the objections have stopped. The Security Council has been able to unite behind him. The Russians, rather than trying to block, are trying to support. So that's the dynamic now. Now, the other issue you mentioned about equivalence between the opposition and the government, that has also been something the Russians have raised, but Kofi Annan has moved into this quite carefully. He started out just with calling for an end to violence. Then when the Syrian government agreed to the plan, he came out last week and said, really, because the Syrian government is the stronger party, it should take the first step. And then you had the foreign minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov, saying yesterday the Syrian government should take the first step. So that has evolved. And I think there's no suggestion that the Security Council is supporting Bashar al-Assad's narrative.
It's interesting, though. You really deconstruct the chess game that goes on diplomatically when these kinds of crises come to the UN. Barbara Plett, longtime Middle East reporter and currently UN correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Let's get a feel for your documentary on Syria. How are listeners to approach Syria as a nation which really is set apart from the rest of the nations in the Arab Spring in its current difficulties? What are the questions we must ask? And then let's listen to some of the documentary.
Well, Syria is different from the other Arab nations that have undergone this upheavals or Arab Spring, whatever you want to call it. Of course, each country had its own individual characteristics, but Syria is a special case because, in a way, the fault lines of the region really meet in Syria. Sectarian fault lines between Sunni and Shiite Muslims, tensions between Arab countries and Iran, because Iran is a big supporter of the Syrian regime. Arab-Israeli tensions, because the Israelis are occupying Syrian land, the Golan Heights, and the Syrians have taken this very strong Arab nationalist position against Israel. So the fear is that if this conflict is not resolved peacefully, if it becomes a civil war, then other players, other major players in the region will be drawn in, and it could become quite a nightmare scenario.
But this fear of a proxy war is something you can actually see in hospitals inside Damascus. Here's a character, Shukir Abu Mahmoud, who is actually concerned about the allegations that the war is being funded and financed and armed by outside players. Listen.
Hezbollah and Iranians, they were fighting with the regime against the revolution and the revolutionists. And I even, as the videotaper of demonstrations, I even captured and videotaped one of their IDs and sent it to Al Jazeera.
People are trying to get to the bottom of this, ordinary citizens with their video cameras. What does that say to you?
Well, the Syrian opposition have made these allegations that supporters of the Syrian regime, the Iranians and their allies in Lebanon, the Hezbollah movement, militant movement and also political movement, are on the ground in Syria supporting the regime. When it comes to how seriously to take these allegations, this man said he had video and that it had been aired on a Arab television. But I spoke to a number of longtime observers of Lebanon and Syria when I was in Lebanon, and they were very skeptical about these things. They said there's not much evidence. But the threat of some kind of proxy war, not only from the Iranians, but from the other side, the Gulf states, is there.
Fears in Syria. Barbara Plett, UN correspondent for our partner, the BBC. You can catch Barbara Plett's documentary on Syria on the BBC World Service that we're referring to just there over the next couple of days. You can also download it. We have a link for you at thetakeaway.org. Continuing now with Barbara Plett, UN correspondent for our partner, the BBC. How isolated do the people of Syria feel right now in terms of being out of reach of explicit help from the international community in their uprising?
They're feeling very isolated, and they've been calling for help from the international community, not only initially for an intervention. Now what they're really calling for is arms. I've spoke to a number of people in Lebanon who'd come across the border from Syria, in particular a captain who's fighting with the Free Syrian Army, the opposition army, saying that we need arms. And if we can get them from the Gulf states who have said that they want to give them to us, that's good. We haven't got them yet. But that's what they're calling for.
And let's listen to the intensity and just the precision of those pleas from individual Syrians.
Back at the hospital in Tripoli, the wounded men tell me if they don't get international help soon, more and more of them are ready to play the doomsday card, calling for Islamic fighters to join their cause in the name of jihad.
This is why we're asking, just give us the weapons, because if we do call for jihad, it's going to be a world war.
What does he mean, if we call for jihad?
What we're saying is that if the jihad is called, no matter where it comes from, all the Sunni fundamentalists from all around the world are going to come. It's going to be apocalyptic.
So that is a selection from Barbara Plett's documentary, which you can hear on the BBC World Service about Syria. You know, the irony there, Barbara Plett, is that the very expression of urgency that that man gives, it's going to be apocalyptic. And these fears of a proxy war between Iran and other nations in the Arab world over Syria are precisely the reasons why the international community is staying back, not going in.
Well, and it's also precisely why Kofi Annan is trying to get a peaceful solution at this point. He's trying to get a ceasefire, but he's also trying to get a political process. And one of the points of his plan would be to allow peaceful demonstrations. And what some people have told me is this is the thing that really worries Bashar al-Assad. If peaceful demonstrations are allowed, people will go out onto the street and they won't leave. In fact, it might be in Mr. Assad's interest to have the armed opposition armed and fighting, because that will play into his narrative that he's got terrorists or gangsters or whatever being funded by outside powers against which he has to fight, and that he can cope with. What he can't cope with is a political process. That is the fear.
Long game here, Barbara Plett. Are we seeing a kind of deconstruction of Syria itself, in the sense that Syria is going to look more and more over the next several years, if nothing changes here, like Afghanistan, where Karzai rules in Kabul, but the rest of the country is at the behest rule of individual warlords and militia?
I think fragmentation is certainly one of the fears, but it's not necessarily the thing that will ultimately happen in Syria. The other option is if Bashar al-Assad's regime does go through any way that is not too violent, you will see a change in government. You will see a government that is more Sunni Muslim instead of Alawite, which is a branch of Shiite Muslim. You'll see different kind of alliances in the region. And that will be a major thing because Syria is such a central part of the region. You'll see it changes in the balance of power.
And that is if Kofi Annan's initiative proves to be successful. You can catch Barbara Plett's documentary on Syria on the BBC World Service over the next couple of days. Download it. We have a link for you at thetakeaway.org. Barbara Plett, thanks so much.
Thank you.
UN correspondent for our partner, the BBC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.